Hey, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of our listeners all over the world. I'm Barry Muller, your host at the Revamp Podcast. Today, I have Ben Rubin, the Revenue Director at Remotish, as our guest. I reached out to Ben a few weeks ago. He said he'd be interested in speaking, and here we are. I'm really excited to have Ben on this podcast. Ben, welcome.
Hey, Barry. Thank you so much. I'm so excited about our conversation. It's great to be here, and I'm glad that our paths have crossed, and we're at this moment now.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Living it. So, Ben, maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and about Remotish to give our listeners a little bit more context about who you are and the company that you work with.
Yeah, that sounds great. So my name is Ben Rubin. I'm located in Austin, Texas. We just had South by Southwest, which was awesome. I'm originally born and raised in Cincinnati, though. So I spent all my childhood growing up, my teenage years, and a good portion of my early adulthood in Cincinnati. But I'm loving Austin right now. The weather's really turning, so it's nice to be down here. And then a little bit about Remotish. So I joined Remotish about a year ago, and just over a year ago, and Remotish is excelled in growth, and our focus is really tightly positioned around HubSpot revenue operation implementation from a very strategic and tactical perspective. And so we have a really experienced team that brings in the roles of a digital project strategist, a HubSpot strategist. We have full stack and front end developers, as well as senior ops and client service management in the whole realm of an agency developer space inside of HubSpot.
Okay, cool. So this is actually, for our listeners, our first time, at least I believe it's our first time, that we've had an agency on our podcast. So I'm actually really curious to hear about some of the pain points. I know, Ben, that before you were revenue director, you were more on the sales side, but some of the pain points that bring your clients to you guys, what gets them on the call?
On the call, yeah, right? The interest, how are they show engaging and intent inside of that? So that's a great question, Barry. And I think what we see a lot of times as I think revenue operations, it's still maturing out the definition of what it is, what it means, and then how companies can lean on it. So we see things that come over from a company side that are challenges around bad data, low adoption rates, right? The team isn't using it. They're not feeling empowered. They're not hitting revenue goals. Maybe there's friction. There's very siloed marketing, sales, and service departments, siloed leadership as well. That can be a big challenge inside of what we see as well when we're working with, you know, a VP of sales, maybe a CMO or director of marketing and a director of customer success, wanting to help align those. Having no documentation put together, no formalized reporting so that they can see and have visibility to the things and areas that they need to focus on, not only what they need to focus on, but also what is working. That's a big portion of this as well, is knowing what works and knowing what doesn't work. So you shift where you need to. Guiding all of that then comes in a place where you look at it and you say, where do you need to maximize investments and minimize expenses? A lot of times we'll see department heads look to increase headcount, thinking that's going to solve a problem, right? Throwing money at things. That's a pretty typical path. But when we get to the reality of it, a lot of times it's about it's identifying how you're not maximizing your investment, AKA for a Remotish, that would be HubSpot, to where you can save on headcount. You can save on expenses because we're going to enable your team to be more efficient and do more in, say, the 8 hours that they work a day. So it's really about how we're finding the places where they're communicating that I'm stalled in growth. I don't have reporting. I can't trust my data, which means I can't trust my reports. This report doesn't, what's presenting doesn't line up with this report. I don't have alignment in what marketing leads are coming over, MQLs are coming over, and when that transitions over to SQL. So lead scoring, there's a lot inside there that could actually be unpacked. But I think it's a little bit focused on that. I'm stalled out and I don't feel like I'm getting the most out of HubSpot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So my follow-up question to that is specifically what I got from it is that that the reason they're calling is maybe because they didn't have the skill set to do the reporting or the data. Is that the wrong assumption, that wrong extrapolation that I'm making?
I would say you're spot on there, Barry, for sure. Okay. And it's nothing to be ashamed of too, right? As your listeners are listening to this episode, don't be ashamed. Just reach out. There's people and partners in the world that this is what we do day in and day out. And our strategic deep expertise around RevOps inside of HubSpot is how we can help you get there. And so it's definitely looking at it from a perspective that says, I don't know how, but who should I reach out to? Right. I think we're in a space now, as we talked about marketing ops, sales ops, all these other ops, company operations, but then you look at it and now where revenue operations comes in and it's the umbrella over all of them. But it's looking at it and saying, if revenue operations is here, it's how bad you're doing it or how good you're doing it, because you're doing it, but it's just how we have to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So that's actually interesting, because I thought it was just going to be that people were reaching out because they didn't have like the headcount, or they didn't know like that it was important to do these things, and they had like, you know, we want more revenue, let's hire an agency. But it's really, yeah. It sounds like, which is actually good, that people understand that they're missing some of the tactical skills, and that's when they're reaching out. And it's good for both parties, because one, you get business, but two, then they don't have to they could even save money instead of hiring another person to that also doesn't know the business as well, or the tactical to do the reporting and the data and the connecting. So it's actually
100%, right? And that perspective is how we want to help companies. We'll specialize in a lot of businesses. Mm-hmm. As long as you're on HubSpot and you're probably at a mid-market level, then we're going to help you scale up. And that's the key word there, scale, right? Where it's looking at how you grow to increase revenue and profitability while not having your expenses scale at the same rate. So that's what we want to do there, is look at how we can help you get to where you are as a business phase and wherever you identify yourself in that phase, and then leaning on the practices and core functionality of RevOps in HubSpot geared around reporting and adoption that are going to get you into a scaling growth phase versus, you know, throwing money at the expense, putting more headcount up. Yes, your revenue is going to go up. Your profitability is going to stay the same. Bottom line is going to stay the same. And your expenses go up right with it. It's about how we can separate that and start that, that exponential growth on your profitability and revenue, keeping that separate from your expenses, not on the same trend curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a lot we're going to unpack from that. I feel talking about reporting definitely in this podcast. For our listeners, if that's something that you're interested in, definitely stay on. I think I'm going to start a little bit with collaboration. Something Ben and I were talking about that I guess we're both passionate about in different ways and in a lot in the same ways. But Ben was telling me that before he joined Remotish, he was in a different type of industry for 16 years, right? Joined Remotish, and it was through the power of collaboration that he was able to push forward. Ben, maybe you could talk a bit more about this and bring this story a bit more concrete for our listeners and for myself.
Yeah, I love this story, right? And collaboration has been a big part of my professional journey and how we ask questions and learn from each other, right? And so, yeah, you're correct. I spent 16 years inside of the audio video integration industry. So very technical industry to be in. I was in VP of sales and technology for the last company I was at. So still involved in sales. And how I actually found Remotish was the last project initiative I took on at my last company was to migrate us from QuickBase to HubSpot. and all the empowerment and enablement tools that come from the Sales Hub that would enable our team to actually have better efficiency inside of selling. So that was my last project. And I like fell in love with HubSpot so quickly that I just thought this was the coolest thing. And so when I, you know, was able to take the position with Remote-ish and start as the salesperson, it was, yeah, I come with a lot of sales experience and high level technical leadership, but this is new for me. This is, you know, selling software development now, which was a very new industry for me, not alone, not to even separate that from the fact of just getting into HubSpot and all of the ins and outs, the features, the dark places that we want to understand more about inside of HubSpot. So I had to go through collaboration directly with our CEO, Nicole Pereira, to help me up my knowledge and ability to connect through our discovery, which is we are a very solution and consultative selling approach inside of our sales process and sales journey. So we're here to help. We're here to find alignment. We're not a hard close. We don't believe in that. And we're not going to get you in because we need a number and a seat to be filled. We want strong alignment and fit. So through collaboration, I learned a lot and was able to continue to embody that collaborative mindset. And then we do that as a whole here at Remote-ish, where it's looking at it from an internal and external perspective. Internally, we have a very talented services team that has collectively over 45 years of HubSpot experience. That's all accessible inside of each one of our relationships, even though just each of our client accounts, they'll have two dedicated team members, a digital project strategist and a HubSpot strategist. But the collaboration that happens on the back end, we're very asynchronous communication with Slack. So everyone's pinging, we're running ideas off of each other and collaborating on solutions and solving problems together. Then we do that. So that's the internal. Then we do that externally with our clients. We can't be successful for our clients inside of a relationship where they're demanding the path forward. That's not how we operate, because we're not a heavy, we'll do implementation and development, but that's not our leading element of our relationships. We lead with strategy and tactical usage case development inside of HubSpot. So we've got to be collaborative with our clients as well. Not only do we come and we don't put the foot down and say, this is the exact path we have to go for your success. It's all about learning the business, how they operate. What's their process? What's their buyer's journey look like? What's their customer journey look like? And then how we can find that perfect adaptation inside of HubSpot that supports their growth. Again, the word to give them scalability from all of the features that are inside HubSpot. If you're paying for pro or enterprise HubSpot suites and hubs, and you're not using everything, you got to look at why you're not using it all. And that's that collaborative approach where maybe you don't know where to look. You don't know the dark areas. Well, let someone with a flashlight lead you down into those dark areas and don't be scared to go down them. So collaboration is massively impactful inside of our relationships.
Yeah. For me, collaboration, and what I got from that was that collaboration also could be, that's like the buzzword around it, but it's also like being human, right? It's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like your CEO wants you to succeed. So she's going to work with you to make sure you succeed because you're coming from a different industry. For you, you're aligning with your customers to meet, or your clients, excuse me, to meet their needs, which has this buzzword of collaboration, but even like it's simpler. It's like be human, be friends, and try to get 1 + 1 = 3 together. That's
funny. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, it's funny. I've got a great business development strategist on the team here, Brandon, who works directly with me. And we always joke around, right? Because we typically do B2B, but we joke around because it's actually H to H. So I like that you pointed out that, because we're not, you don't sell to a corporate building. You don't sell to the business entity. You're working directly with a person, a human. So it is human to human. And that's what we like to look at it inside of our sales framework.
Cool. Absolutely.
Sorry if my dog's yapping in the background.
I love dogs, so it works out.
It's the world we're in now, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm in the office today, but definitely in the podcast, people have heard my kid crying in the background. So it works out. So Cool. The with regards to collaboration, I wanted to talk about collaboration across teams. We talked about how you collaborate internally and how you collaborate externally with your customers. How can, I guess, the RevOps as an agency with your RevOps function, how can that help with collaboration for your clients' teams' functions? So for example, just to be very specific, like finance, sales, operations, how can they better collaborate after going through a process with you? And why does that matter? And maybe what even was stopping them from that collaboration beforehand? Because everyone wants to be human. Everyone wants to work together. So what stopped them from collaborating before, and how, after going through a process with you, are they able to collaborate more efficiently or even just collaborate at all?
Yeah, no, this is a great question. I love this one, because within RevOps and how it continues to get formalized, there's a core that I think there's no doubt that everyone should have defined for themselves, which is removing the walls and silos inside of each of these departments. Because as soon as you start that mindset shift, that paradigm and thinking shift, then you're starting down the path of removing friction. Everybody is touching your revenue, your marketing people, your salespeople, your service people, your accounting team, right? And it's looking at it and saying, where is the friction, and being able to identify that. And then you have to have, we've experienced some challenging client relationships where we see some pretty high friction just internally on their team, because, you know, a lot of times it comes down to a little bit of egos, but opinions, you know, that are sometimes backed by facts and data, right? And then that goes back to HubSpot reporting and what you can really trust. But it also goes down to, you know, what kind of agreements do you have inside? We don't help our customers create SLAs between departments, but it's key so that there's a defined expectation. What does it mean when marketing gets a lead that comes in? And when does it truly become a marketing qualified? And then when does it become, you know, a sales accepted and sales qualified lead? What's those definitions? You've got to define that. And you need both of those department heads working together to define that. Because as soon as, if you've got sales saying, oh, this is what a sales accepted lead is, or an SQL, and marketing is like, yeah, but I'm telling you, this is warmed up and ready to go. And if I pass you this and you tell me you're not going to accept it, there's friction. So you've got to come together from a collaborative mindset and be able to operate in that side of that mindset, right? The other side is how we help companies is massively through documentation and training. It's hard for us because we definitely will always maintain our strong positioning as a HubSpot strategic and tactical development agency. So we're not going to dive too far into personal conflicts and issues with egos and stuff, but we try and solve those with heavy documentation. Our team provides a very formalized process from not only just the communication and documentation you'll receive from our team inside of your weekly meetings and monthly completion reports and being able to see all the documentation. But obviously, if somebody has a service hub, that's where we're going to start leaning on the knowledge base article development and actually documenting the processes that we help develop with them and saying, here's the report that does this. Here's the workflow that does this. Here's how your sales pipeline automation is built. And when you get that documentation aligned, you start compressing that gray area, right? Right now there's a lot of gray because you've got a black and a white in this huge area of gray. You got sales and you got marketing, service and accounting, everything else comes in. But if you start to compress that gray area by putting documentation and formalizing the way that things have been built inside of your HubSpot, gaining agreement, gaining that collaborative mindset that has to happen so that you can, marketing can say, if we're going to give you, our goal is to hand you this many qualified leads a month, then your goal is to respond in this timely manner, right? Those kind of things inside of an SLA. or just the simplest form of an agreement in clarifying the expectations on what both parties are going to do. When you start to see people think that way, that's when collaboration starts. You start having that agreement. You start seeing that unity and pulling out that friction to allow for revenue to flow through their company and their organization more efficiently. As soon as you have those silos, that you just look at it and see a dollar sign, and then it just stalls out somewhere because it's shifting from a department, and then it continues and shifts to a department. No, you want that dollar sign to be as frictionless as possible through the whole customer journey and buying and account expansion and all those things inside of your company. Mm-hmm. I know that may have been a long-winded response, but I think there's a lot inside of that. And I think there's a lot of variables and there's a lot of different situations that bring different responses.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. So like the human element, it's always challenging to give advice on the human element because every human is different, right? It's like, it depends. Yeah. My dad's a psychologist. So whenever people would ask him questions, he would always say, it depends. Like, there isn't documentation for humans. There is advice and there are suggestions, right? But everyone's different. So I guess like, is there though a play that you guys like, if they don't have it, a RevOps person, are you talking to the CEO because they have full alignment, or are you trying to convince the CMO to talk to the salesperson? Because I know you don't want to go into the politics or the egos, but like there has to be a little nudge. Like where's the nudge there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And sometimes we'll still see some of our clients to this day when, there's a lot of friction injected in between. It's mainly between sales and marketing. Right. That's the main place. And when you get to a place, because sales just wants to take leads and close them and convert and then walk away. Right. And marketing wants to pass over qualified leads, but how many and how quickly, right, through nurture campaigns and when that lead score defines that they're ready to, you know, be pushed over to sales. I think the biggest thing is still really leaning on documentation. Because as soon as you, for us, when we start documenting and we'll look for both parties to have agreement and we'll formalize that area of overlap that happens. And when you get that and you get both parties to agree, that's when you actually start seeing that needle move. So I agree with you 100%. It's nearly impossible for us to look at it and say, we're going to change these people. So we say, what can we change and improve for them? And if we give them the visibility and documentation that says, this is the way forward, this will give you your best chances of success. And if you agree, then, you know, say so now, and we'll continue moving forward. And when our team starts to overlap sales documentation, marketing documentation, and they see that overlap in that section and they start to agree to it, that's when we'll start seeing the mind shift.
Right.
But I can't say that it's promised and guaranteed every right. time. We'll still see, you know, we have a client of ours now who, you know, is the sales team is looking to even move off HubSpot. So it's like, wow, you're in HubSpot. You've got all the efficiency built in from a marketing perspective and sales perspective. And then you want to go and inject more friction by moving off of HubSpot sales.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, no, it's a challenge. It's
a big one. And there's no guarantees.
Right, exactly.
But we have found that when you lean on that documentation, and if you can get both parties to agree, you're all that we can hope for is to start moving the needle.
Right.
It's the simple kind of principles, right? Where it's the human element, where it's like you can't change someone unless they've decided they want to change.
Right. Yeah,
but exactly. A lot of times you find ways to connect. Like sales wants revenue; they want to see dollars. You want to see, you know, calls made that equal converts. So Okay, well then let's lean on that, and then you overlap what marketing can do to help improve that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So that would be an interesting agency, like a psychology agency for right? collaboration, because <Yeah. laughs> no one wants to touch it, but someone might have to touch it one day. Maybe they have that. Like, maybe it's a psychologist made for business. Okay.
I'm sure they're out there.
Right. But they need to market better. Cool. Let's move on to a different topic we were discussing right before this call was real-time experiences. I would love to hear from you what that even means for you, not just from a marketing perspective, but from a company perspective. It's interesting because people, and we were discussing that, in marketing ops, people have been talking about, you got to show what's the most personalized, most relevant thing for like the past 10 years, people have been talking about that. And then I noticed, and then in a previous podcast, we talked about how people stopped even like, tech companies stopped doing ads on TV. They're like, oh, we can't personalize it or we can't track it. And now if you go on TV, there are tech ads, right? Like in the Super Bowl and things, because people realize, okay, so we can't personalize everything, but we still also want to give a big brand outside of that, which I thought was super interesting. What does real-time experiences mean to you and to your agency and to your clients?
Yeah, this is a great question. I love this. I think real-time experience can definitely fall in a few areas for us. We lean on a partner, Postal.io. So from an external perspective in regards to like offline marketing, right? Our senior operations manager, Jen, has done a tremendous job building out this gifting process and workflows and all the automation that comes with it and leaning on, you know, a third party platform that then can take the orders and send the gifts and we can send magic links and all of this can happen because that's then it's an offline marketing approach, but it's real time for them. When they receive a gift and it's physical and in their hands, that's a real time moment that they're now connecting remote-ish to this gift and the feelings that then associated to it. Right. So we definitely spend some time and focus on that from a client perspective, gifting, you know, on the holidays, gifting on work anniversaries. If somebody changes jobs, you know, we like to celebrate that for them as well. Even if they're leaving from the client team that we're working with, we like to still celebrate that for them as it's a, you know, maybe a growth thing. We do that for HubSpot partners, for our own team, right? That's that real time when you someone knocks on your door or dings, or you, if you've got, you know, a door sensor and camera that you feel it and that happens, that's real time. The other side to it, though, I think is from my perspective in sales, it's, as I had mentioned earlier, I'm not that technical inside of HubSpot. Our CEO and founder put together a policy that all of the team members here at Remotish have to have every single HubSpot certification, though, me included. So just on the sales side, I'm not too shabby, right? But I'm not one of our technical, strategic, client side team members. But when I think about that real-time experience as well, it's like when we're working through, just to touch on it from a sales perspective, we had a call not too long ago where someone was looking at how they look at reporting off of their SDRs and the timelines that happen. And they wanted to report off of meeting links. And it was like, well, don't report off of meeting links. Let's figure out a different way because that's not going to give you the right reporting on how long something's sitting somewhere. How long does it take for an SDR first outreach to get a meeting to then get a call booked for an AE? I was like, you got to report off of your deal stages and build a custom report that shows them how long this is sitting in this place. And they were just wowed by that. And that was something I think is fairly small with what our team does, but that was a real time experience where they were like, "Whoa, like you just solved a problem for us, real time." And I think that's where we take that very consultative and solution based selling framework that then empowers that relationship to continue down that to where inside of then I go, okay, let's move over to our servicing team. When we start launching our relationships with our clients and their servicing team, their dedicated servicing team, we meet with our clients weekly. And depending on where we are based on the agenda and the progress we're making in the relationship, we may shift those into what we call working sessions, And we absolutely hate the agency client hostage model where it's, you don't share information because you feel like that's how you retain the client. We share everything. So that means that we're going to actually go real time, you know, using the words there, and do a working session that says, let's talk about this workflow that you need. Let's build this thing right now. And when we actually show them, it's actually empowering the relationship to feel like there's more value in it because they're getting better. We're not a team that wants to be here and just say, no, toss all your things over to the fence and we'll just get them done and you're not going to learn anything. That fails at our model around maximize investment and reduce expenses. We want your team to excel as a HubSpot user because then that only means more revenue, right? And so then I think that's a few examples that I can see that mean real-time experience to us. So from an offline marketing, when somebody gets and receives a gift, and how real-time that is, to how our sales process is, how can we find small solutions that we can solve for them, showing value quickly, real-time in that moment, and then for our servicing team to do working sessions, which then bring real-time experiences as well.
I love that. I'm going to tell you one of my real-time experiences with DealHub. And I think I'm going to have to ask this real-time experience question on every podcast, if I remember, yeah. Because I think it's so different for every person. And I love that. And you even gave me three different examples. There are some similarities to them, but pretty three separate examples. I think this is, it's really mind-blowing. It's really fascinating. I love this question. I'll tell you, and so the way I'm going to explain it is going to be different than yours. For me, what real-time experience, and again, I'm biased. Like, I work at DealHub and I'm a product marketer, so I'm always like talking to our customers and I'm talking. It's not even a bias. It's just, this is who I am even, which I guess is biased a little bit, right? So it's like our platform empowers people to create like a sales proposal, a digital sales proposal once. It's stored in a web link. But even after it's created in that mini website, then there's the quote there, but also like the contract and the e-sign and like the specs after it's generated after one time. Why for me is that real-time experience? Because then anybody from the buying team, the buyers, they can go to that site link. So not just the person that you're talking to, but even like decision makers that you've never talked to. And they see everything that they need, no matter which part of the sales cycle. Meaning, it could be that people would wait to send the specs of that manufacturing product until they even say, oh, this would be a good quote for us. Or they would wait to send the e-sign. Most people wait to send the e-sign technology, like the DocuSign, until they agree to it, right? So this has everything in one place, which for me is like a real-time experience. Also, I guess it could be called the right-time experience. You took it like emotion, and I love it, that more human level. I would say mine was also human level, but like that more like, oh, I'm building a real physical product, or like this is like my light bulb moment. And that is what made it real for you. And that's why it's a real time experience. And I love that. And that's why
I think that, you know what? I love this because I think it's just, that's straight up the difference between software and services, right? Our product is our people.
Right.
And so they don't necessarily always feel a software experience.
Right.
They will with HubSpot, but our goal is to feel an experience with our team.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And we're software and we're selling to people, but I get that. The experience isn't just with our customer success team. We're also able to admit that through not a live demo, but through the actual software where we don't even have to be there at the time.
Exactly.
So, cool. Well, Ben, this was an awesome conversation. I didn't know where it was going to go once we started, but it's exactly what I wanted it to be because it was interesting to me. I hope it was interesting to our guest. I had a great time meeting you, and I hope we get to stay in touch, Ben.
Yeah, let's definitely stay in touch, Barry. I massively appreciated the request to come on and guest, and I'm honored to guest on the show and looking forward to continuing our relationship for sure.
Okay. Awesome, Ben. Thanks and have a hope for our listeners to that you'll be able to log in next week. And if anyone of our listeners is interested in being a guest, reach out. There's nothing can hurt. So we'd love to have more of our listeners reach out. So thanks again, Ben, and talk soon.